Okay, so maybe I'll start by reminding you where we were. So we want to compute the, sorry, it should be lower index. We want to compute the nth homology of the sphere, the n dimensional sphere, and it should come out z, at least for n greater than 0. Again, by now I forgot why, but it had to do with retracts, showing that there are no retracts, and therefore the Brouwer fixed point theorem. Okay? What we already know is that, well, homology is a functor, and if two maps are homotopic, then they induce, maybe you should sit on a second layer. Sorry, because the front, I'm afraid I have to take up. So, then they induce equal map on homotopy. We know that if two spaces are homotopy equivalent, then their homologies are isomorphic. In particular, since the p-dimensional disk is always homotopy equivalent to a point, the homology of the p-dimensional disk is the same as the homology of a point, meaning z at 0 and 0 everywhere else. Okay. And okay, so that's the background. Now, the last bit that we did last time was to observe that there is a, quote, short exact sequence of topological spaces. And I will remind you what a short exact sequence is in a minute, but the short exact sequence of topological spaces that we see is A goes to X goes to X mod A in general, and specifically for us, the short exact sequence we really care about is the n minus one dimensional sphere going into the n-dimensional ball as the boundary, and then if you take the n-dimensional ball and move it out by its boundary, you get the n-dimensional sphere back again, at least something isomorphic to the n-dimensional sphere back again. But now I have to remind you what is short, a short exact sequence, or what are exact sequences in general, and this is sort of in quotes, this. There isn't really a good notion of exact sequences in topology, but there is one in algebra. So in algebra, if you have a chain of, so actually it's used in many contexts. So it could be a chain of groups, or a chain of vector spaces, or in fact a chain of chain complexes. We'll get to it in a minute. So whenever you have a chain of groups, let's say groups, just to for the sake of first run, okay? Whenever you have a chain of groups, you say that it is exact at the point B if the homology at B would be zero, meaning that the image of alpha is equal to the kernel of beta, okay? And if you have a very long long sequence, you say that it's exact if it's exact at every point. Okay? And then there are a few special cases. So if you have A goes to B goes to 0, then exactness means that this map is onto. If you have 0 goes to A goes to B, exactness means that this map alpha is 1 to 1. The union of these two, or the conjunction of these two, is that if you have 0 goes to A goes to B goes to 0, then exactness means that alpha is an isomorphism. And finally, if you have the final short exact sequence, is that if you have 0 goes to A goes to B goes to C, then exactness means that C is equal to B mod A. More precisely, C is isomorphic to B mod A. And it's not equal, but isomorphic, okay? Because, okay, exactness of alpha means that you can that alpha is 1 to 1, so you can think of A as if it's a subspace of B. It's not a subspace of B, right? So that's part of why this is isomorphic rather than equal, okay? In fact, it's not even isomorphic because it's really, I should have had alpha A here. But, okay. But the moment you think of A as a subset of B, it makes sense to make the quotient. And then this map, the second map, becomes an isomorphism, because it's on to because of exactness here, and the fact that the kernel is equal to the, well, you can check it. You said it last time. Okay, so then going back to topology, so sort of in general, exactness doesn't really make sense, but in our case, it sort of does, right? We have A goes to X mod A, which is exactly the analog of the algebra thing. Okay, anyway, so we want an algebraic replacement to the homology of a quotient. And as I mentioned last time, this is a new type of chain complex, or it's a chain complex C star of X, A. So star means that I let the index run from 0 to infinity and that there are boundary maps. Okay? And C star of X, A means chains in X where you regard chains that fully, where you regard the simplices that fully live inside A as equal to 0. So basically, if this is X and A is inside it, then these simplices survive, but the simplices that are fully inside the subspace are killed. Okay? Well, a different way to say that this is the chains in X modulo the chains in A is to say that this space fits in a short exact sequence. Namely, the short exact sequence, chains on A mapping into chains on X, mapping into chains on X mod A. Okay? And this short exact sequence is actually a short exact sequence of chain complexes, not of individual groups, but of whole chains of groups. And I'll get back to it in a minute. Okay? So this is called relative chains, so chains for X relative to A. And if you compute homology of this chain group, so this is again, this is a whole complex, right? So you can compute homology. And if you compute the homology, it's called the relative homology, and it will be our substitute for the homology of the quotient. You can actually prove that on good conditions that they're the same. I'm not sure if we will do it because it's actually not necessary for the goal that we're trying to achieve. Okay? Anyway, what did I want to say? What do we want, actually? So you see, in the topological analog, this is the n-dimensional sphere. So you should sit in the back because I otherwise you'll be hiding there. Okay. So this is the n-dimensional sphere. This is the n-1 dimensional sphere. And we want some induction that will allow us to show that if this theorem is true in dimension n-1, then it's true in dimension n. Okay? So we want to somehow connect the homology here with the homology here with one dimension, with one shift in the dimension. Okay? So in general, we want to connect the homology here with the homology here with a shift in the dimension. And this is done by the following theorem, which is the ultimate diagram chase. Okay? So now I'm into new stuff. So theorem. So informal name is the ultimate chase. Formal name is short exact, or not short, not formal name, but sort of quick reference. Okay. Slogan, right. So short exact sequences of chain complex of complexes lead to long exact sequences in homology. Okay? But now let me say it precisely. So if 0 goes to A star goes to B star goes to C star goes to zero is a short exact sequence of chain complexes. Okay, I haven't defined that. It might make, the definition is sort of the obvious definition, but I still have to tell you what it is. Okay, so what does it mean? Sorry, and I haven't finished the statement, right? I only wrote if. Now, so the next word must be then, but I haven't written it yet. Okay, so first I have to tell you what does this mean, okay? So sort of here is a parenthetical remark, meaning, so A star is a chain complex, meaning we have AN plus 1 mapping, so you see since this is written horizontally, I have to write the chain complexes vertically, okay? So AN plus 1 going to AN, going to AN minus 1, going to, let me not name it, coming from, let me not name it. Likewise, B is a chain, oh sorry, so and these maps are always called the boundary map, okay? And to be precise, I have to say this is boundary in the chain complex A indexed by N plus 1, but since it's sufficiently obvious, I will never actually do it. Okay? Then B is the chain complex Bn plus 1 going into A, sorry, what am I doing? Going into Bn, going into Bn minus 1, going into further and coming from before. And C is Cn plus 1, going into Cn, going into Cn minus 1, going into further and coming from before. And in fact, the zeros, really I should have called them zero star. It's not the zero of vector spaces, it's the zero of chain complexes. The zero of chain complexes is just zero goes to zero goes to zero, but traditionally the arrows between them are suppressed. Okay? Because they're kind of silly. So really there are also zeros on the right everywhere. Also here, you know. Okay? And finally, or not finally, so now I also said that you have a map between these chain complexes. So maps between chain complexes just means morphism of steps, chain complexes. What are morphisms of chain complexes? Well, they're just maps between the corresponding chain groups that make this make these squares commute. Okay? So I have these vertical maps, sorry, horizontal maps, and let's call them alpha, 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 because we name things after their domain, and beta, 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 and really I should be naming it beta n, but I'm lazy. Okay? And of course I have these maps and these maps. Okay. And then I have to tell you what, so, and then I didn't yet say exact, so I have to tell you what exact means. So, rows are exact, right? Because I said short exact sequences of chain complexes. So such that rows are exact. Now, I never said that the columns are exact. The columns are the chain complexes. I sort of don't want them to be exact. If they were exact, then any statement about the homology would be stupid. The homology would be zero. So in a way, I don't want the verticals to be exact, but I still want the vertical to be complexes. This is stated here, But let me remind you what it means. It means that if you go two steps vertically, you die. Okay? So, going two steps down on any of the ladders is zero. Okay, so now we're done stating the conditions of the theorem, and now I can tell you what is the conclusion. So if ta 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 ta, then there is a long exact sequence that wraps around this one. So it goes A, B, C, and then back to A, and then to B, and then to C, of homology groups. Of homology groups. So let me write it as a sequence. Where is the best to do it? Maybe I'll start at AN. So there is a long exact sequence. H, the nth homology of the A complex, going into the nth homology of the B complex, going into the nth homology of the C complex, and then wrapping around. So A goes to B goes to C, wrapping around and coming down to here. So going this way to the nth homology, n minus first homology of the A sequence, going into the n minus first homology of the B complex, and continuing. So it then further wraps further down, and this one actually comes from up here, and you know, you can sort of, you can untie it, and you get a very long exact sequence. What should we do first? Examples or proofs? Proof.
Maybe examples would be more inspiring.
Vote. How many want proof? Raise your hand if you want a proof. No, that's cheating. One, two, three. How many want example? One, two, examples win. Okay. Not by a wide margin, but okay, yes.
Wait, when you said that the short sequences are exact, and you said such that the rows are exact, but then you said going two steps down is zero?
Yeah. That's not exactness.
That's just because of the boundary.
That's because it's a complex.
Right.
Exactness means, okay, so exactness, sorry, being a complex means that the image is contained in the kernel, which is the same as two steps down is zero. Exactness is stronger. It's the image is equal to the kernel. So on the horizontal side, I'm assuming everywhere image is equal to kernel. And on the vertical side, I'm assuming only that image is contained in kernel. Okay? Good. Okay, so examples. I think I will give you two examples. So example number one, and these are the two examples that we will really, really care about. So, I hope I will get my indices right. Do I want P or P minus 1 or what? Okay, SP minus 1. So the P minus 1 dimensional sphere is included into the p-dimensional disk, and the p-dimensional disk maps into the pair dp sp minus 1. So I wrote it as if it's topology, but I really meant there is this chain complex playing the role of A. There is that chain complex, okay, all the simplices here playing the role of B, and then by definition, the chain complex written here is the one which makes this sequence exact, right? The relative chains of DP relative to SP minus 1, by definition, is what makes this exact. So now I have a short exact sequence of of chain groups. So it leads to a long exact sequence homology groups. So let's write the interesting part of this long exact sequence. So by theorem, we have that exact is the following thing. Sorry for using funny English. So let's start from the middle. So basically, I suppose I'm starting from here. So Hn of dp goes to Hn of dp rel sp minus 1 goes to Hn minus 1 of sp minus 1 goes to Hn minus 1 of dp, and the sequences continue in both ways, but I'm only interested in what I wrote. Okay? So for n greater than or equal to 2, I believe, right, so if n is equal to 1, then n minus 1 is 0, and then this is this is H0 of dp, which is z. Okay? But if n is greater than or equal to 2, you have this picture. So in fact, the picture continues, and at some point you'll drop to the place where this is no longer 0. Okay? But I'm looking at the high enough level of the ladder. Okay? So if n is greater than or equal to 2, then this group vanishes, this group vanishes, and we're left with 0 goes to something else, goes to 0, which means that the two things are isomorphic. So the conclusion is that Hn of dp, comma, sp minus 1 is isomorphic to Hn minus 1 of sp minus 1. And this is in the right direction, right? We're aiming to, so this is sort of like the p-dimensional sphere. We haven't yet shown exactly how it's like the p-dimensional sphere, right? But at least, I mean, it's sort of the, I mean, what I'm trying to say is that we haven't shown that modding out on the algebra level is the same as modding out by the topology level. Had we shown that, then that would be the p-dimensional sphere, and we're showing that the nth homology of the p-dimensional sphere is the n minus first homology of the p minus one dimensional sphere, which is exactly the inductive thing we need in order to compute the homology groups of spheres in general. Okay, and let me show you example number 2. So, example, let me leave this space for the proof. That's about all we need. And do example 2 here. So, example number 2. So, same thing, but a different triple of spaces. So the triple I now want is SP in the middle or SP minus 1? SP in the middle, and mapping into SP is the southern hemisphere. right? The southern hemisphere, where, you know, Australia is and places like that, maps into the p-dimensional sphere, so let's call it dp minus. Okay? And then, well, topologically, if you mod out a sphere by the southern hemisphere, you're just squishing the southern half, you still have a sphere, right? If you squish the air out of a balloon, you still have a half of a balloon, you still have a balloon. So topologically, this should still be a sphere here on the right, but for us, it's just a relative homology, okay? So this is the relative homology of SP modulo dp minus, or relative to dp minus, okay? And then the long exact sequence corresponding to it is, hn of dp minus maps into hn of sp, maps into hn relative of sp relative to lower hemisphere, maps into hn minus 1 of the lower hemisphere. Okay? And again, if n is greater than or equal to 2, then this is just the homology of a disk, so it's 0. This is again the homology of a disk, so again it's 0. And so the conclusion is that the nth homology of SP modulo relative, is isomorphic to the nth homology, no shift in the degrees here, because the two entries are in the same row. So we have 0 goes to this, goes to this, goes to this, so these two are isomorphics, are in the same row, no shift in the degrees. So hn of sp and d minus p. Okay? Now, why did I show you these two examples in conjunction, one after the other? Because if we will show later that this is isomorphic to that, then we would be in business. Why? So this is the lemma that remains. Okay, or not quite the lemma, the theorem that remains. Because then we will be able to, because then hn of sp is isomorphic to this, is isomorphic to that, is isomorphic to hn minus 1 of sp minus 1, which is the inductive thing we want. Well, sorry, we will not be done, we will be in business, we will still have to base the induction, right? But at least we will have done the high steps of the induction. Now, does this make sense? Okay, does it make sense that these two would be the same? Okay, so this will be, you see I'm leaving the amount, the space for the proof, I'm making it shorter and shorter and shorter, but it should be enough. So does this make sense? Does it make sense that these two are equal? So the answer is that later we will prove a theorem called excision. And excision is a word from, anybody knows what it means in English? It's sort of surgery, right? You cut the head out of somebody, or no, you take an organ out, you do something horrible. But what does it mean in our context? Excision says the following. It says that if I have a triple of spaces under good conditions, which will be specified later. So I have X, I have A, and inside A, I have a smaller thing, V. So V has to be somehow deep inside A, not A itself, less than A, strictly less than A. Then the homology, the homology of X relative to A is isomorphic to the homology of, so you see, things in A are ignorable. So who cares if V is there or not there? So this is so it's isomorphic to X size V. So X minus V relative to A minus V. So again, that's a sensible theorem. I mean, it's hard to prove. You'll see later why it's hard. But it's sensible. If we're ignoring things in A, who cares if V is there or not? So suppose there was a dinosaur here, or, you know, just a hole. Who cares? We don't see it anyway. Okay? Now, given excision, these two are clearly isomorphic. Why? So basically, oh my god, this comes out bad. Is anybody here from the Southern Hemisphere originally? Everybody was born in the Northern Hemisphere? Good. Basically, this is SP relative to the Southern Hemisphere. Who cares about Australia now? I mean, it's deep in the Southern Hemisphere, so you can remove, you can excise the interior, or basically you can excise out everything which is south of the equator, strictly south of the equator. And then if you do that, you're just left with the Northern Hemisphere modulo the rim, the equator. And that's why these two are isomorphic, because of excision. Okay, but excision, so I'm sort of giving you a preview. Okay? Good. So this will be the hard bit of tomorrow, but let's go back to today. So, right, so why is this theorem true? So this is more space than I intend to use. It's a hard theorem. It takes testing like 18 different things or so. But all of them are done by diagram chase. So proof, diagram chase. So I have to construct this map here, which, by the way, is called the, I forgot to give it a name, the connecting homomorphism, because it connects the one side to the other, and it is sometimes called delta, and sometimes, to be confusing, it is called the boundary map. So we actually have boundary maps all over the place, right? Okay? You'll see in a minute why it makes sense, okay? So I want to tell you how to go to from the homology here. So, okay, first step, I'm claiming that a certain sequence is exact. Okay? I first have to explain what is the sequence before proving that it's exact. Okay, so this map is sort of obvious, right? If you have a map of morphism of chain complexes, since homology is a functor, it induces a morphism of homologies. So this is really, alpha, the map induced by alpha. This is really also obvious, it's the map induced by beta. Likewise, in the lower floors, it's the map induced by alpha, the map induced by beta. So the map remaining is, I have to tell you what delta is. What is the connecting homomorphism? Okay. So suppose I start here. I want to get here. That seems like going against the flow. Okay? Typically, you can't do it. Okay? But I don't start here. Okay, so first of all, I don't start here at a general element of Cn. I start at an element of the homology of C. So I start with an element that goes to zero. The homology means being in the kernel. Okay? So the little c that I start with, so this is uppercase C, you can't tell the difference. These are all uppercase, but this is lowercase c. The c that I start from goes to zero, because it's in the homology. Also, it goes to zero here, because there is nowhere else to go. But things that go to zero must have come from the left. So this c comes from some b here. Now, this b, when you push it, so now take this b and push it down here. So maybe let's call this one b prime. Now, b prime has the property that it goes to zero here. Why? Because this diagram commutes. So coming from here and going here is the same as starting here and going that way. But going that way gives you zero here because we started in the homology. So the thing, so b prime goes to zero here. But if it goes to zero here, it must have come from here. That's exactness. Okay? So we have an a prime that goes to b prime, and that's the beginning of our definition. Okay? Now, was it clear? So this is sort of a chain of reasoning that you have to, I don't know if you remember, but you must be able to reproduce. It's sort of, it's the bread and butter of this subject, okay? And again, if I, on the other hand, you sort of, you're forced. You don't get to choose. You do what, the only thing you can do at any given step. So I start at the homology, meaning it goes to zero. So, sorry, meaning it goes to zero here. Sorry. Yet beta is onto, so I can go backwards. If I go down, it would go to zero here because the other way it would go to zero, so it goes to zero, so I can come back. But how do I, okay, so I found my A prime, but now I need to prove lots of things about it. I need to prove that, first thing that I need to prove is that if I push A prime down one step, it goes to zero. Because A prime is supposed to be in the homology of A. Right? So A prime must go to zero here. So why does A prime go to zero here? I don't know.
Well, B has to have come from something.
B?
Yeah.
Must to, why? No.
Okay.
That's a good thought. I mean, you're in the right direction, but the wrong proof. I mean, so David is suggesting, so if B must have come from here. If B came from here, then going two steps down would kill us. But no, B definitely didn't come from here. Because if B had come from here, then its image two steps here would be zero, so we started from zero here, and it's, I mean, maybe we did, but it's not interesting. But it's different. Take the B that you have here, two steps down to here. Now it's zero. But the thing you got here is also the image of A prime, because the diagram commutes, because basically because B and A prime meet here by definition, right? The way we created A prime was we pushed B to here and then pulled back to here. So B and A prime meet here and then they go to zero here. So A prime goes to zero here, but this map is injective. So therefore, the image is zero. Okay? Again, writing this is a crime. Not only is it a crime, it's unreadable. And you can look it up, you can find it in books. Okay? But if when you're trying to read it, you never understand what is going on. You hear, you see, you know, maybe I'll try just for the example, just to show you how unreasonable it is. Okay, so basically you end up writing letters, but you should be following the hands, and then you have to recreate the hands in your head, and it's you can do it, but you can do it straight on the diagram. You don't need the book for that. Okay. Okay, what else do we need to check? So, we need to know that, okay, so I took C that goes to zero here, but that's not the definition of homology. The homology is not the kernel of this map. It's the kernel modulo the image. So, I need to know that if my C came from one level above, I don't know, let's call it here C minus, then C minus, so if C came from one level above, then by the time it comes here, it would die. Okay? Why? So why is it true? So suppose C was the image of C minus. So suppose C came from here. Then I can pull it back to here. Or, sorry, the process is to pull C back to here. But I can equally well pull C minus back to here. So I have a B minus down here. Now, is the image of B minus equal to the equal to B? No, in fact, it isn't. The image of B minus, I mean, how would I compare, right? I would try to push it to here. Okay. B minus and B, or B minus and B when pushed to here, and I actually don't have to tell you how, because all ways of pushing to here are the same, but both B minus and B push to C here. So B minus and B become equal here. But this map, beta, is onto. It's not necessarily one-to-one. Usually it's not one-to-one. So I don't know that B minus and B are mapped to the same thing. Yes?
So one thing, a pattern I'm seeing is there's like this S-shaped structure here. So we went from C to A n minus 1 is using that S-shaped structure. So to show that C minus goes to 0, we could apply the same S-shaped structure, get something in A n, but then because A is a chain complex, it must go to 0, so C must go to 0.
Yeah, that's a... Yes. Except that to run the chain structure, I needed to know that C goes to 0. That's how I start. Not how I started. That's why I could go backwards here, because here I had zero. However, C minus does not go to zero here; it goes to C. So what do I do? Okay. So B minus and B go to the same thing here, which means that their difference, or more precisely, B0, which is by definition B minus the image of B prime, B minus, so I mean, to take their difference, I need to bring them to the same place, right? B minus is here, B is here. So I have to push B minus. Anyway, their difference goes to 0. So their difference comes from here. Okay? So there is some A here which map to the difference of the two. But now, take this A and push it down to here. Where would it be? What's the image? So if you push it to here, the image would be, well, by definition, the image of B minus del B minus. But del B minus goes to 0. So therefore, when you push A to here, the image is B prime. So A goes to B prime. Which means that A goes, that when you go this way, it goes the same to B prime, which means that A goes to A prime. Because this map is injective. So A goes to A prime, therefore A prime is zero in the homology. It's in the image. That's what I wanted to show. I wanted to show that if you start from something which is zero in the homology, meaning is in the image, then the thing I get here is zero in the homology, meaning is in the image. Okay? Okay. I think I have six more things to prove. Namely, so this is a long exact sequence. I have to show exactness here, exactness here, and exactness here. So, okay, so far I've shown that the connecting homomorphism is well defined, but I still have to show exactnesses. Okay? Now, what does exactness mean? Exactness is two conditions. It's the fact that if you go two steps, you get zero, so image is contained in the kernel, and kernel is contained in the image, so there are two inclusions there. Okay? Okay, let's do one or two, and the rest are traditionally left as exercises, and who am I to break from tradition? Okay? So, okay, probably the most, the hardest exactness is probably here. Because it involves the crazy homomorphism. I mean, in fact, these are not easy either. But that's probably the hardest. Okay? So, let me first show that going two steps is equal to zero. That's the first step of exactness. So claim, if you start here and do the and do the connecting dance. So if you start here and do the connecting dance, you get to zero. But this is happening at the level of homology. So if I start here with something in the homology, what does it mean that it's in the homology? It means that it's del is equal to zero. So I start here with something that goes to zero. I take it to here. Then I go backwards and go down. I'm at zero. I'm dead already here. No need to go back here even. Okay? So that was easy. I'll stop here. Okay? So you have five exercises left. I don't know. I hope you... I mean... There is no. Should I do another one? I mean, by the way, I'm improvising myself, right? Not that I've never done this. I've done this, but I've never memorized this. It's not something that you memorize. It's something that you do. Okay. I don't know. Should we do the other exactness? Suppose something here goes to zero here. Okay, let's do another one. Suppose something here goes to zero here. I have to show you that it came from here. Well, something here that goes to zero here, what does it mean that it's zero here? Zero on homology level. It means that it's in the image of something here. Well, if it's in the image of something here, push this thing here, and you manage to go one step backwards. Now I'm schematic. Right? I started here, I wanted to show that I could go back here. That's how you do it. And I think this is a good time to stop. Okay. So let's take a break until 6:10.